All right, folks, you are listening to the Yishai Fleischer Show, broadcasting live from Judea to the world, and you're a part of it wherever you are. We have a great show ready for you today on deck and all kinds of neat stuff. I don't even know what that neat stuff is yet, but the first thing is that we say shalom and welcome to Malka Fleischer. Malka, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
A lot of stuff going on in our fair country.
Yes.
First thing is that something you're not going to hear about in the news is that tons of people are coming in now. This is, I call it the Kites Shel Achamim, or the summer of VIPs, because everybody who's anybody that I like, and I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings because you're also,
you're all important.
You're all important out there. But here's what I'm trying to say, which is tons of people are showing up in Israel now. Just from here until Sukkot, there's just going to be just a constant flow of people
who
haven't been here in like 2 years.
Right.
And so everybody's just like showing up right now. And so,
right. Although, you know, they're talking about like that we're having like a sixth wave of COVID right now.
So wait, so before the sixth wave of COVID, before, okay? Just like today I'm walking and one of the guys that works there at the Tomb of the Patriarchs and Matriarchs, the Marta Machpelah Tzuri, says to me, "Are you going to be around tomorrow? We've got a delegation from Moroccan diplomats coming tomorrow." I'm like, okay. I just spoke right now with the CEO of the Yesha Council. He says to me,
which is Judea and Samaria,
the Council of Judea and Samaria. He's like, Hungarian evangelicals are coming tomorrow.
Wow.
I'm like, okay.
Hungarian evangelicals.
And then I just have like tons of people coming, all kinds of folks. My friend Lily Cerrone brought Christians today.
Oh, wow.
They were mostly from Canada, like Vancouver and stuff like that. They were really cool people. They were really cool. There was one guy, black. His name was Daniel. He's a cook. He knew the Bible by heart. He was just he had dreadlocks. He was enthralled by everything that we were talking about.
So cool.
For him, like it was like to touch Abraham.
Wow.
It was so fun. And just people are coming in. Tomorrow morning, I have VIPs, but first at 7 a.m., I have already to tour a soldier group of people getting their officer training course and all kinds of stuff like that. So just an intense summer of lots and lots of people coming. Now, this is despite...
Yes.
Two things, which you started saying right now, which is the first thing is that that's my new ring.
I dread the thought that I'm going to have to live with that ring.
You may not have to live with that ring, okay? But I was just experimenting because along with many other things that are happening in life, I also had to take a deep breath.
Yes.
And do a deep dive and actualize my new phone. Because I went from my Samsung 10 Plus, Note 10 Plus, to a Samsung S22 Ultra.
Wait, is that 12? Wait, is
that's
that...
not. It's not 12. It's not
12 more.
No,
than...
they skipped from 10 to 20 and whatever. Then there was a 21, and there was a 20.
Who can understand
and this is the 22. Who cares? But the point is like migrating a phone, even with all the stuff that they've done to make it easier. And moving, especially from a Samsung to a Samsung, is like a lot easier than other things. But okay, it's still a big thing, and you have to. Do you know what the biggest trick is?
You really use your phone a lot.
I use my phone a lot. My phone is my friend, and we all use our phones a lot. We all use our phones a lot, and so I had this issue, Maka. Do you know what was a really challenging issue with the phone?
What?
If you use two-step verification, and you have an authenticator code, machine, an authenticator app, then switching to a new phone's authenticator app and turning off the old authenticator app and letting like Facebook and Twitter like know that you've moved phones, it is actually kind of hard.
I think I just planned my whole Shabbos menu while you were talking about that.
Pro tip from Yishai, the main way to do it is to simply tell Facebook or Twitter that you're turning off two-step verification, then turn it back on again.
In the new place,
and then start again. Okay, so that was
Thank you for that.
Yes, okay. So there's VIPs.
Yeah.
There is new phone.
Very important phones.
Very important phones. Then there is a little thing called school closures, because right now our kids are not in school. Not because of COVID.
Yes.
And not because of some kind of lockdown, not kind of some kind of, oh, there's, you know, not because of some Iranian, you know, nuclear threat,
right,
or
rockets.
Not
because it's
rockets,
the end of school.
Not because it's the end of school, but rather because of a school teachers' strike. The teachers' union is striking.
I do feel for them a little bit. I always feel like education should get more money.
Right.
Now, I'm not a national budgeter, okay? I understand that there's a lot of considerations about how they budget stuff. But these are the people who are, like, teaching the children. Isn't that important? That seems important. These are the other, these are the people.
I just think that you can show them the way. You know, you have to let them lead. Let the children lead. You know what I'm saying?
Let the children's laughter remind you of how you used to be.
Yeah.
Show them all the beauty that they have inside.
Is that a song?
Give them a sense of pride.
That's right. Kids need that, but our kids, oh, on top of that, so our kids are off of school.
Yes.
Which is
forcibly off of school.
Which is partially infuriating. I have taken the position.
What do you mean partial? Where are you? You're here infuriated. You're sitting here. You're like walking through the house infuriated. No.
You're saying I was out. I was out and about today.
Yeah,
that's
you're like,
true.
Oh, I'm going to come home early. Blah, blah, blah. When did you come home today?
5:30,
not early.
Yeah, no.
You came home at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, which is not early. That's correct. That's right. Okay, so there's that. Plus,
yeah,
our son's
yes
pet.
Hamster.
Hamster.
Beasley.
Beasley.
Has gone to the great hamster wheel in the sky. This is our first pet death.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was a good pet.
He was actually a really good pet.
You know what? He was a friend through Corona.
Yes. We got him during Corona and when the kids needed a pal.
Yeah. And then he would, you know what? I knew that something was wrong with him recently.
Did you?
You know what it was? What? I like just noticed, I'm like, he's not running on the wheel at nights.
Oh, really?
I'm like, yeah, I think...
I weirdly
and he was
had
sitting
a feeling.
Out in front.
I was like, I wonder, not like this week, I think I was asking myself, like, I wonder how much more he'll live. Because if you Google it, which I did when we got a hamster.
Yeah.
You'll find out that hamsters only live maximum like 2 years.
Right.
So it's not a goldfish, right? But it's not like a long living animal.
Right. So he passed away today. And it was sad. And we did a serious... a funeral for him, and we dug a little grave
in the hills.
We didn't
Judea.
Do it. The son, our son, did.
He dug a grave for his own little hamster.
That's right. And
he's 10, almost 11.
That's right. And he put to rest.
It was
Beasley.
It was sad. I may or may not have shed a tear.
It was a beautiful ceremony, and it was real, and he was our friend.
He was
you
our
wrapped
friend.
Him beautifully in like
paper,
a nice
so that it would like biodegrade, you know, into the.
Yeah, and
into
the soil of Judea.
I was happy for him, though, you know, to be so loved as like a rodent.
And he happened to pass away exactly in the day that there was no school, so Elazar was here.
Right.
And
it was another auspicious day today.
Yes, it was.
That I want to thank you that you sent a link out to people because I was not paying attention. I'm not sure which chapter is it, chapter 8, chapter 6, in the book of Esther, Megillat Esther.
Yeah.
You will find this story of how they catch Haman, right? It's finally over. They hang him, right? Haman is about to destroy the Jewish people. He doesn't do it because Esther comes in and she swoops in and she saves the day and she tells Ahasuerus about his horrible plan. And then Ahasuerus is like, hang him on the thing that was for Mordechai. And then Esther is like, well, take back the decree against the Jewish people. And he's like, I cannot do that.
The king says, Ahasuerus says, I cannot take back the decree.
Right,
because
once
it's signed,
written, it's written.
It's if it's signed in my ring, that's it. And of course, that is in great contradiction to God, who accepts teshuvah, is merciful and accepts repentance. The king's like, sorry, I wrote it, even though it was back then under that Nazi advisor of mine, which I was totally with. I'm totally against that now, really. I'm with you, but like, sorry, that's like,
so then Esther and Mordechai have to put their heads together,
right?
And they figure out that they're gonna write a letter that tells the Jews that they can defend themselves,
right?
Yes,
they can fight.
Okay, there's gonna be, which is interesting. I'm sure there's a great much commentary on that. Like, what do you mean tell them they can defend themselves as opposed to telling them they're not allowed to defend themselves? And what if they don't listen to your decree?
I think
it's an interesting law.
I think more importantly is that instead of canceling the war, it's like, no, you're going to have to fight it.
Right. It's and like, the Goyim are also just like, we're coming. Like, we're not. It's not like they're like, oh, I don't know. Maybe we shouldn't do this.
I think the right word is the pro-Amalekite faction of the Goyim. Okay, it wasn't like all the Goyim.
Right, because
it says literally that many Goyim, you know.
Oh, converted because they became
part of the thing. So there were some, you know, there was the pro-Amalekite faction and their supporters, the would-be Amalekites, the pro-Amalekites, and they came out to fight. But the Jews were like, it's go time. We're ready for this, okay? And then they came out to rumble.
Right, but before the rumble, there was the letter.
Right.
And the letter was put out on the 23rd of the Jewish month of Sivan.
Right.
Which is today.
Yes.
As we're recording this show.
Yes.
So you sent out a really, I don't know who put it together, but somebody put together a very beautiful prayer, and it included lighting candles for Esther and Mordechai, which are still here on our table. We have candle lit for Esther and a candle lit for Mordechai, and there was some Tehillim, different psalms that you had to say, and the special prayer that you could say that they wrote. And they were just like, you say all these things, and then you can ask Hashem, you know, it's a very auspicious day. You can ask for what's in your heart, what it is that you need, what it is that you're really davening for inside. And I just thought it was really great. It was also very empowering, I felt, to go back into the Book of Esther.
Right.
There is a spirit that comes out around Purim time. And you feel it in Purim, and then you keep going with your life, you know, because you got, after Purim, you got Pesach, and you got
Shavuot. It's because of Passover.
Right.
So the day after Purim,
you get busy with
like,
other stuff. But it reminded me that there's like a spirit that comes out around Purim time.
Yeah.
Which is like a... I don't know. How would you describe it, Yishai?
It's a fighting
like
spirit.
Like a fighting spirit, yeah. But like a victorious spirit.
Right. It's like for a time such as this.
Yeah. It just feels like we can do it. You know what I mean? We can do it, and Hashem is with us.
Speaking of...
Which is a good feeling to have right about now also, because the country is about to go back to elections. Wait.
Don't presage it. Just one second.
Oh, sorry.
I was just about to say... Like, okay, so I was like, my new cell phone.
Oh, yeah.
Many VIPs and people in the country. School's out. Beasley passed away.
Yep.
23rd of Sivan. Victorious feeling. And there's also this little thing, which is that the government of Israel, the coalition, just fell apart in a kind of surprise way. They just kind of like... there must have been super drama behind the scenes, but they just kind of gave up. And it is the weirdest thing, really weird. Partially, it's because this is so strange. This is like so. There's something like mystiological. I came up with that. Mystiological. It's like mystical, theological. Okay, mystiological. I came up with that just now for you. Okay, that really one of the reasons this government fell is because the Judea and Samaria law did not pass. And that was just like...
You mean the law in which we extend Israel's military and like certain kinds of
military
presence.
Sovereignty. That's
but
right.
It's not just military sovereignty, because that would have stayed anyway. It's more like certain other things that come in, like the postal service, like
the medical,
services, like social security, Israel social security, like certain things that are like quote unquote regular Israel that extend rights and police presence.
And who voted against it?
That serve all Israeli citizens, including Jews living in Judea and Samaria. But we have technically not applied our full sovereignty to these areas. And so it's under like police and military jurisdiction. So if they didn't pass this thing, and so like the police jurisdiction and all the like regular Israel stuff was supposed to like disappear, and we were supposed to just be a military territory of Israel.
Right. Instead, it's quasi-normal through this law, and the whole left-wing faction of Israel voted to keep Judea and Samaria under the law of Israel, its extension of the this semi-extension of Israeli law over Judea and Samaria. So and many of them are against that, but they voted for it.
Because of the coalition.
Because they were in the coalition. So like Meretz, who hates Judea and Samaria, wants to get rid of it.
So upside down.
Voted for it. And the whole right wing, the nationalist.
Voted against
the nationalist camp, which is sitting in opposition. And to them, the rights of Jews in Judea and Samaria are paramount. Voted against the law in order to topple the government. And so really it was. Okay, and so the government, which cannot operate in this way that it like that has this folly under its mandate, that it's no longer able to million citizens will suddenly not have Israeli law.
One out of every 10 Israelis.
One out of 10 Israelis. That's right. So anyway, my point to you is that like
one
it's
of
like
every nine, yeah.
There's like such an absurdity out there. It's so weird. This coalition could become a right wing. This government, this Knesset, could become a right-wing coalition in no time if they would all just forget about the fact that they hate Netanyahu. And
well, one could say, though, Yishai, I didn't say
that they don't have a reason to hate Netanyahu.
Yeah, but one could also say, like, Netanyahu
could
is
step
one
out of the way.
Person. All he has right. to do is, like, go on a little vacay and, like, everything works out.
Right.
But he won't budge. They won't budge.
Right.
So yeah,
and in the middle of it is actually this other little thing called the State of Israel, which you're supposed to serve and defend and make a government for. But I, you know what? I'll tell you the truth. The people that are in our Knesset are many of them are egotistical, self-centered, and all that kind of stuff. But you know what though? It's not their fault. It's the system. The system.
Right, it's a system.
It's a system.
Set up for that.
This type of coalition government where everybody matters. You know, to like you need like every. You know,
it's more like their personal
party.
Friendships are more important than like the massive will
just,
of the people.
It just becomes a very math people's game, this whole thing. There's many
stats.
It's like a game. It's always a constant like game of who is and who isn't part of the coalition, who votes with and votes against. It's just an endless and therefore makes everybody super important at every point because it's like 60 seats and every person needs to vote and then one person says I'm not voting with you, he becomes you know, the
right.
person
and then
of the
you
hour.
Have to, like, woo him
you
with
have to
all
woo
kinds
him
of
with
treats.
Money and all kinds
right.
of it's a system set out for hyper egotistical people and therefore anyway so our ruling coalition has now fallen. We may go to elections. We may see just a new coalition forming. Who knows?
That's also an option, by the way.
That's right. It's an option.
An option is that they could regroup and make a coalition that will work.
That's right.
Before
that's
elections.
Right. Monica, before we go on, just before, I don't want to forget. So you were saying some beautiful stuff, and thank you for talking about the 23rd of Sivan. And so you're probably going to be listening to this a little bit afterwards. And still though, my friends, especially those who are part of the International Torah Congregation or the International Torah Community, which I'm getting people writing to me all the time saying, you know, I really like that term. I like to think of myself as part of the International Torah Community. Somebody wrote to me community instead of congregation. I thought to myself, that's really good. What do you think about that, Maka? International Torah
sweet.
Community.
Sweet.
The ITC. The ITC out there is the International Torah Community. So I like to help people think about the part of the International Torah Community. I like people to think about this thing, which is okay. This letter, this decree for the Jews to fight, and let's all concentrate on that idea, and let's concentrate on the idea of also that this 23rd of Sivan is a day that is auspicious for breaking bad decrees. And I'll go psychological for a second. Many of those bad decrees that we have in our lives are our own bad decrees, things that we don't believe in ourselves, things that we don't believe we can change, or things that we don't believe will change. And so it's a day to like rip up decrees and write good decrees, right? That we will fight, we will go forward. And I just want to put that out there that's something that the ITC folks can think about and concentrate on this week. And there are people who actually make sermons. There are people, Maka, who listen to our show and make like sermons that help them think about the sermons that they give in different places in the world. So let me read to you an email from one Ryan.
Okay.
Who writes, Yishai, good morning. Oh, my name is Ryan from Colorado and identify myself with the international Torah community.
Wow, that's awesome.
I'm so happy about that. I have been following your show for 5 years now. This is the first time I have attempted.
5 years.
This is the first time I have attempted to communicate with you. I've been friends with Jeremy and Ari since 2008. And now I'm currently following them with a fellowship.
That's nice.
And soon I will be hosting Jeremy and Tehila Gimpel and family this summer because they're going to be on a road trip. You and Malka are a dream team.
Aww.
You should be very proud of what you guys have put together.
Thank you.
This October, I will be coming to Israel with just two others to spend time with Jeremy and Ari at the Ari Goat Farm. I'll be visiting the Cave of the Patriarchs and Matriarchs. Truthfully, Ryan, you write Tomb of the Patriarchs. That is a no-no.
It's just not complete.
As we say here, Tomb of the Patriarchs and Matriarchs. Don't be throwing away the Matriarchs. No problem. I forgive you. And hoping to see you, possibly have you as our tour guide at the site. You bet. You got it. You just communicate with me, and I'll be ecstatic to tour you, possibly visit with you while I'm in town. Currently, I'm putting an itinerary together and came across this Airbnb in Hebron that I would like to get your take on it. So I'm going to click on this, but I think, it says in Kiryat Arba. I have to click on this, but I think it should be fine. If it's in Kiryat Arba, it would be great. I don't know it myself,
We haven't seen it, yeah.
Yishai, I hope this is not too much to ask to get your feedback on, but also I would welcome recommendations for someone to help us travel to and from the Ari Goat Farm, Jerusalem, etc. But are not needing a tour guide necessarily. I recommend, if possible, to rent a car and to drive yourself. I really do recommend that. There's nothing like driving a car in a foreign country. You just become part of the land. But you're
also
not a driver,
there are cab drivers and things also.
Absolutely, and
you can arrange with them. You know, sometimes even just straight from the airport, you can be like, listen, I'm going to need somebody here and there to do this and that.
Right.
We had a
cost,
guest.
I just want to say it cost about like $500 a day for a full day's of.
Does it that much?
Yeah. For if you want like a full day's busing around of your own, you know, private bus, that type of thing. 1,800 shekels, uh-huh. Something like that. Maybe a little bit less sometimes. Depends on the quality.
That's for a bus.
Like a minibus, like a 19 uh-huh. people, like one of these Mercedes, you know, vans that are nice black vans. I just met a driver and I'm like, this is a really good driver. And the van was this like really nice van. And I could tell there was something different about the driver. Bottom line is, he's like a rich guy who had a giant house in L.A., moved to Israel, doesn't need to work.
And he just likes driving people?
And he just likes driving people.
Get out of here.
I'm telling you, he showed me pictures of his house here and there.
What? He just drives people around for fun to like make a little money?
Yeah, and he likes to like be active.
And
he likes to go places.
And go see stuff and see people?
Yeah.
What?
I'm telling you, people are... That's
cool.
He showed me pictures of his house in L.A. I was like, uh-oh. It was like a mansion.
Good for him.
Yeah, and he said to me, he goes, do you think I need this? I don't need this at all.
What?
He said to me. I'm like, okay.
I never heard of that.
I'm telling you.
That's really cool.
I'm telling you. So anyway, let me just finish this up. This letter from Ryan, and he's writing, so we can get you, I can definitely get you a good van. I have on my phone a lot of drivers, but I also have a few entries that says good driver, and that's my good drivers. He says, listen to this, Maka. Listen to this. Again, my regular routine in following your show is typically early Thursday mornings, either on my 90-minute trip north to Denver or on my trip back home, which I find some amazing Torah insights for the Sabbath and Torah-led teaching I have been leading for the past 7 years.
Wow.
I thank you for what you do and very much look forward to meeting you, possibly Malka, on my next trip to Israel at the end of October.
Fun.
You, your family, and teaching light and your teaching light to the nations are in my prayers often.
Aww.
Do look forward to hearing from you in the near future. Shalom, Ryan.
That means so much. Thank you for those prayers.
You see that?
I love that.
Speaking of prayers, I want to tell you something. So today I was with Gentiles,
yes,
non-Jews, self-identified Christians, great folks. And we had a great time. And I finished off and I went to like, and there's this guy named Ronen. And he like what he does is he gives out food and blessings to like people next to Marat Machpelah.
What do you mean, like for free?
Yeah, he's like
that's
a
nice,
yeah,
like a hospitality,
yeah,
type guy.
And I sit there sometimes because close to Marat Machpelah, I chilled out. Sometimes he gives me something,
that's
a cup
nice.
Of coffee or something. We just have a nice time. And he's really nice and he's Breslov and he's smart. And he says to me, I said to him, you know, there are people who think, I said to him, do you know that every time I post a picture of me touring non-Jews in Marat HaMachpelah, there's somebody that writes on my Facebook page, one of many people who are like, Yishai Fleischer is bringing missionaries to Israel. And I said to him, did you see these people? Did you see them? Did you see their eyes? They're here to connect with the story of Israel.
It's such a shame to turn nice people into like enemies like that.
It's not only is it a shame.
These are people who want to connect to Hashem. Yeah. They're people like you.
What's it called? What's it called when you don't have self-confidence? What's it called when you're like...
Inferiority?
Yeah.
Inferior?
Yeah. It's like, stop being so inferior. People are coming to you to share light and truth and Torah and Israel. And don't you be worried
and
about...
such wonderful people so often.
And maybe, you know what? And maybe there's one out of 10 who in their heart wants to convert you. Okay. Big deal. I got people all around me in Hebron that just want to plain old kill me.
Well, it's not okay to try to convert Jews
to
other religions.
No, it's not. But I'm not afraid. It's not okay. And it's not okay to want to kill Jews. It's not okay to want to convert Jews. It's not okay. It's not okay to, you know, it's not okay. By the way, I gave my line today. I said to them again, this is so great, Maka, you got to use this. I speak to them. Somebody asked me some question about Christianity. And I said, well, you know what, folks? You know what I always say in these situations? Let's agree. And everybody's like to disagree. And I'm like, nope. I said to them, you don't need to agree to disagree. You just disagree. I said, let's agree to agree. Let's agree to talk about the things that bring us together. Let's agree to talk about Abraham. Something that we all care about. The path of Abraham. Everybody's like this. Everybody's nodding. Yes. Yes. That's it. We went on from there. You know? And anyway, what can I tell you, Maka? You know, there are people that are like there. And by the way, these are people who are not rich. They're people who are spending their 2 weeks instead of going to Acapulco.
Yeah.
Okay. Or going to, I don't know.
Or they can probably get a deal on like Priceline or something. They come to Israel on an expensive ticket and stay in an expensive hotel. And like, they come here because they believe in something.
Right.
Because they want to connect to the Jewish people and they want to connect to the land of Israel and they want to connect to the story of Abraham. And I think those people are just amazing. I think those people are just amazing. They are opting in. You know, a Jewish person who comes to the land of Israel, that is really beautiful and that's really special. And that should happen, right? But like, we're like born into this. There are other people who could easily choose something else, like you said, Acapulco. And they can, you know, they have their mega worship center, you know, 15 miles from their house, and they can go do their worship there. But they schlep all the way out here and they make major investments. And like, they're, you know, it's not like they have a cousin who's going to bail them out if, like, you know, something happens to their Airbnb,
right,
or something. They're like, they're coming out here and, you know, they're making a major halfway around the world trek to a culture that is not their culture, to a land that is not their land. And they're like coming to see it and be and just touch it and like see if they can soak something in. And I think that those people are just gorgeous. I love them. When I see them in Israel, I'm always like, you are just the best. Of course, I want to reiterate, there is this special place in hell for a person who wants to take a Jew away from the faith in the one true God and implant him into some foreign worship system and murder his soul. But that's not really what we're talking about. What we're talking about is all the wonderful people who just don't want that at all. And that what they really want, yeah, they are non-Jews. They are non-Jews. And they are sometimes Christians and they are sometimes all kinds of stuff. And they come from the place that they come from and from the way in which they were raised. And they, you know, they just want to be inspired. And it's really beautiful that they seek that out like that.
Maka, today's show is sponsored by Ari Silverman, my good friend. And it's funny that I remember Ari Silverman this week specifically. He's my good friend. He lives in Spain right now. Some time ago, it was exactly on this Shabbat that I visited him when he was living in Amsterdam.
Wow.
How do I know?
How do you know?
I, as you know, I don't remember things that well, dates and things like that.
Right.
I'm not like your grandma who remembers like
every
May
like
1942
was,
we were taken to the
ago.
Camps and all that kind of stuff. She remembers exactly which date. Like, it's not like that. How do I remember every year that I was with Ari Silverman on this Shabbat? How do I remember that? Because this Shabbat is Parshat Korach. Parshat Korach has in it the stick of Aaron, which amongst the other staffs were taken to the tent of meeting next to the Ark of the Covenant. And then his staff, Aaron's staff, flowered with the almond flour and brought out almonds, thereby proving that Aaron was the chosen one. And this was after a horrific fight between competitors to Moses, who said, Korach, who said, we're supposed to be the priests, and I'm supposed to be the high priest and not him, and we're supposed to be the chosen ones and not these guys, and like a whole horrible fight in the camp. And one of the ways that this whole fight was figured out, what the truth is, how it was settled, it was settled because Aaron's staff flowered. And I remembered how shocked I was when I realized, like, the flower. I mean, you want to talk about peace? Peace is not the olive branch. I don't know how the olive branch becomes peace. The real way to describe peace.
Well, it's because the little dove brings the olive branch.
Which is peace between man and God, which is God is like, okay, I forgive you and I let you live again. But if you want the peace between, like, a peace that really symbolizes, like, the end of conflict between peoples, I think that great one is the almond of the staff of the almond flower and almond that shoots out of the staff of Aaron. Why do I remember that connected to Amsterdam and to Ari Silverman? It's because I was with Ari in Amsterdam. One of the things about Amsterdam is the flower market. Mm. I remember being in that flower market and being like shocked and wowed at the just
magnitude
and beauty and like effervescent life, like wow. And it was exactly that Parsha. And I remember, you know, looking at my chumash being like, oh, wow, like I can feel the flower power. I could feel the flower power, you know, I could feel the flower power and the peace power was it tulips? What is the famous flower over there?
Of Amsterdam?
Yeah, it's tulips. Like, yeah, I think tulips. Right? And it was just like, wow. And Van Gogh, the whole thing, Van Gogh. I remember I learned that it was Van Gogh and Geld Automaten. That means the cash machine, like automatic guilt. Anyway, today Ari Silverman, my good friend, is dedicating the show to his father.
Very nice.
And brother, Andy and Joey Silverman, whose names in Hebrew is Avraham Yoel ben Mordechai and Chaim Menachem Yosef ben Avraham Yoel. So Avraham Yoel is the dad, Dr. Silverman. He's a great doctor. And gives a lot of people opportunities to have. He's also a fertility doctor and a great doctor in this world. Avram Yoel ben Mordechai and Chaim Menachem Yosef ben Avram Yoel, Andy and Joey. So Mazal Tov. May you have flower power in your life.
Yes.
In America, by the way, or outside of the land of Israel, today's Torah portion is Shlach. So if you want to hear more about Shlach, go to last week's show. I'm doing it on the Israeli calendar version. And because that's what the international Torah community needs. They need the Torah from Zion. But in any case, Mazal Tov to Andy and Joey and Silverman. And God bless you, Ari. And thank you so much for being part of the show and being part of our lives. God bless
you.
Yes. Speaking of life, Malka, you were at a henna party. You were at a, what's it called? What was
the? Achina.
Achina, that's right.
Chena. In Hebrew, it's chena, but in English, it's henna. I went to my first chena.
Like a Yemenite bride party?
So the Moroccans have it, and there are other groups that have it, but the Yemenites also have it. And my friend, our former neighbor in Maale Zeitim, her daughter, who was like a young teenager when we were living with her, is now a full-on grown-up person, and she is getting married to another grown-up person, and her mom, who I remain friends with, invited me to her daughter's engagement.
Mm-hmm.
And I was pretty excited, right? Because I'm Hungarian and we don't like have interesting cultural, special, unique cultural moments like that. Like, it's a wonderful culture, it's beautiful, but you know, to be able to go to something that, the word exotic is not the right word, but like...
Maka, I want you to know that I'm married to a Hungarian lady.
Yeah.
She is quite exotic, I'll tell you that much, okay? Quite exotic.
Because I'm like, what do we have? Paprika? Like, what is it that we're bringing to the table? But anyway, the Yemenites have this Hina party. So I was super excited and I went. I asked around first some people to find out, like, what even happens at this thing. And it was so cool. They made all this, like, delicious food. And they wore these, like, caftans and these cool hats with, like, hoods with coins. And then the Kala, the bride, comes out and they're like banging drums and they're like la 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 and they're doing all this stuff. And she comes out wearing like the giant, tall, pointy hat with red and white flowers around the edge and like all these coins and jewels on it. And she's like bedecked in all these silver jewelry. I learned so much. Here, I'm going to pass on to you some of the stuff, okay? First, I learned that Ashkenazim are square, but I didn't really learn that. I already knew that. Two, just kidding. That was a joke. Two.
Though not a joke.
Though not a joke at all. Yeah. Two, what I actually really learned is that Chena is an acronym.
Oh.
Did you know that?
I did not.
Chet Nun He.
Yeah.
Chala Nida Hadlikat Nerot.
Mm-hmm.
It stands for all, like, the three major mitzvahs of the woman. Is that cool?
Go ahead.
I thought that was really cool. Okay, challah, the making bread,
yeah.
And taking the hafreshat challah, which is means extracting, ripping off a piece of the dough and preparing it and bringing it to one day, Emir Tzashem, bringing it to the Kohen as part of the Jewish nation's support of the priestly tribe who has dedicated itself to service of the Jewish people. So they're not like working in business so much, so the Jewish people are supporting them, and part of how we support them is we feed them through this bread. But today we don't give the dough. We still do this practice and we say a blessing on when you have a certain amount of dough that you make, you're obligated to take off a piece and burn it in remembrance of that practice that we did, but also in preparation for that practice that we will do.
Good.
So that's one. Then there's Nida, which is, I'm not going to go into the details for those people who don't know, but there's a whole series of laws of, they call it family purity laws, but it has to do with relations between husbands and wives and how to keep that kosher and
the
uplifted.
Menstruation cycle.
Right. And all that, all those things to do with ladies. And then there's Hadlikat Nerot, which is lighting Shabbos candles, lighting holiday candles and all the, you know, it's like the keeping of the, in a certain way, Jewish women are not obligated to the clock. We're not obligated to pray at set times and things like that. And we're not obligated in several mitzvot that are involved with like what time it is of the day. And yet the lighting of the candles is like a real timekeeper
mm-hmm.
for the Jewish people. It's mm-hmm. like from week to week, from holiday to holiday. So those are the things. So Chena. What else did I learn? I thought this was really interesting. They brought some lady. I think they hired her. They brought some lady who like sang these like Yemenite songs and like played this like drum thing.
Right.
And she kind of was like the, not narrator. What's the master of ceremonies, mistress of ceremonies.
The MC.
So she said, you'll notice that the bride is dressed. They had her in two outfits. There might have been a third outfit, but I had to go. It was 11 o'clock at night. I think there might have been a third outfit, but I made it to two outfits. So one is the big tall hat and the other was like a flatter hat with like more coins hanging down kind of thing. And she said, you'll notice that all the bride's jewelry is silver, not gold. She said, you will not find a piece of jewelry which is 100% gold coming out of Jewish Yemen. You ever heard that?
No.
Why?
I don't know.
Because of the sin of the golden calf.
Uh-huh.
She's like, we refuse to wear pure gold as a result of that. I was like, oh, wow. I couldn't believe it. That was so amazing. And they're dancing. Oh, so then they're mixing the henna. Now, the only thing that I didn't get that I'm going to ask my friend. I still haven't gotten to talk to her about it. I don't understand what the henna is actually for. Now, in like Moroccan and maybe I think Indian ceremonies, like the henna is this like whole, people know henna is this like intricate design thing where they like draw beautiful designs and pictures on your hands,
right,
and on your feet. So that is not what happens in this case. In this case, they just plunk a big blob of henna on your palm, and then they covered it with like a beautiful, like they tied this like pad onto my hand so that I could, so that you can like walk around,
right,
and not get it all over yourself. And it's look, it looks like mud, kind of. It looks like a more like a maybe more planty mud.
Yeah.
And they just squished it onto your hand. And then I had to go. So I like drove home. Luckily, I have this awesome pad thing, so I didn't get over my steering wheel. And my hand is orange. My palm of my hand is still orange.
Yeah.
From the henna. But it was just, it was so nice. And, you know, the grandmother's there and the mother of the groom is there. It's like a lady party.
Uh-huh.
But they brought in the groom like a couple times. Like he was, oh, he on was around? Site.
It was on site. Yeah.
And they bring him out also in like a Yemenite clothes, but he like is not, like he's not really the interesting one. Like
right.
People are not there to see the groom, although they do pictures together, like the bride and groom, they take their henna picture together. Also her, the bride's parents, the bride's father and grandfather were there. And they are like, I've heard Rabbi Ronen, he does beautiful Yemenite davening prayer. I've heard him in the past. Like yeah. He really cares about the tradition of like this specifically Yemenite prayer and the way it sounds and the things that they focus on. So it was funny to me to see that they, that he was also wearing a caftan and they had him in this like little turban hat type thing with these like huge long fake payas coming out. And I didn't know.
Side locks.
Yeah. Now, payas, you know, you, all of you have probably know what this is, the side locks, the hair, right? And there's different styles and everything. And this rabbi, who is a very, very pious person, doesn't have like
side locks,
like long side locks. He, you know, has like what would be considered today like a pretty conventional, regular haircut,
mm-hmm.
Western haircut. And they had him in this like long, I didn't know what to do with myself. I was like, what is, they bring him out in this thing like fake payas?
Do you have pictures of this?
I have a video, yeah.
Oh my God. I didn't even get to see it.
And they were all smiles. They were all smiles. Everyone was in the best mood. And there's these trays with candles on them. And
wow.
It was just, it was such a cool opportunity. I was very happy to have had the opportunity to go witness that and to be a part of that. And to see like this, like very strong family,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
This strong family that comes from a strong culture.
Yes.
And I think that a lot of us today, we're like trying to re-access Judaism. Like we come from a past in which maybe some of the ties were a little bit broken and we're trying to like fix it. You know, like I'll talk for myself now, and I'm sure not all of our listeners, many of our listeners have very strong traditions that they come from. But me, I come from like a family that wasn't so religious for a couple generations. So we lost a lot. And so now I'm trying to raise a Jewish family and to do it in a nice Jewish way and to be authentic about it. Like to take on Yemenite customs is like a little inauthentic for me, right? Like to go make a henna for my daughter when she's going to get married seems a little
And yet you have henna on your hands.
Yeah, I have henna on my... Well, I was a participant.
Yeah.
And I was like the only Ashkenazi person almost. I think there was one other person. So I'm very proud to have been allowed into the henna club.
That's awesome.
But anyway, my point is that like to
noise?
See...
Did you do the thing?
A little bit.
Let me hear it. Come on.
The point is that...
Malki, you're like a secret Yemenite.
Yeah.
Though.
To see people who know exactly what they come from,
mm-hmm.
who are children of people who also know exactly what they come from. And for 1,000 years backwards, they know they have these traditions which they personally taught to each other down the line.
Yeah.
Is really, really lovely to witness. I was a little jealous, not in an Ayin Hara way.
Right.
Okay. Not in an Ayin Hara way, but I was just like, wow, like what a privilege to be from something like that.
Yep. That's absolutely right, Malka. And yet at the same time, we have been given the privilege to reconnect Jerusalem, with Hebron, and with the spirit of the rebirth of the Jewish people in the land of Israel. God also It is a great privilege to know exactly what you're coming from, but it's a great privilege to re-find it out and right. to relearn it, and to also bring in the spice of the stuff that we've learned.
Because right. Hashem is very smart.
Yeah.
And if he made you the kind of person who doesn't know exactly what your traditions were back a millennium or two, it wasn't a mistake. He didn't mess it up. You're not messed up.
No.
You didn't mess it up.
No.
That's also part of the plan.
That's right. All right, folks, I want to thank you, Malka Fleischer, for joining us very much. I also want to thank the folks that make this show happen, Prohibition Pickle. They do a great job at making Ashkenazi, Yemenite people love Ashkenazi food. Right now, I am a little bit off of Ashkenazi type food. I'm a little bit off my
cleansing.
Beloved salami and all these things. I'm a little bit of in a cleanse, but you don't have to be, okay? And I don't recommend that you overdo it either way. But in any case, a Prohibition Pickle will make your Shabbos awesome and delightful. And just check out their great website, prohibitionpickle.co.il. I also want to thank jewishpress.com for putting out our show every single week. They do a great job of putting out our show. They also put out a wonderful email, which I read almost every day, called Jewish Express, which is the one of the best short, concise emails that you can get about the news out of Israel and the Jewish world. So I highly recommend jewishpress.com. And for those of you who are biblically inclined and want to see news from a biblical perspective, check out Israel365.com. And they do a great job at putting out news from a biblical perspective and your daily email of biblical inspiration. And they also put out the beautiful The Israel Bible. That's right, The Israel Bible, theisraelbible.com. And you just type in coupon code Yishai, boom, you get a Bible from God, but just a little bit cheaper. So that's really cool. So check out theisraelbible.com, and that's part of the Israel365.com family. And of course, I would be quite remiss if I did not let you know about the Hebron Fund, which is the organization, our funding arm for building, defending, beautifying, and helping, educating about, and bringing tourism to Hebron, the Tomb of the Patriarchs and Matriarchs, and the wonderful community that keeps that place open. What a schut, what a great merit it is for me. To have anything to do with it, and also to even be the spokesman, that's really kind of cool. And sometimes I pinch myself. Ow!
I'll pinch you if you want.
No thanks. Better instead that you, a flower like the almond that you are, Malka, you
thank
bring
you.
Peace to the world through your being. And I want to thank you. I also want to thank Moshe Herman, Ben Bresky, Yocheved, Tabitha, and Lou when we're live for producing the show and helping it get out to the world and to your podcast reader. I want to ask you to give us a 5-star rating at least, okay, at least 5 stars, and share it also with your friends, and consider donating either through to our projects, and we are very busy with projects, and we need your hard-earned money to keep building Hebron and other things that we're doing. So go to YishaiFleischer.com/donate, and you could also buy me a coffee. You would buy me a coffee if you saw me in the street. So go to buymeacoffee.com/Yishai to purchase a cup of coffee. That would be really nice. It's like a cup of coffee, but it's really a donation for the show.
Yes, these our donors are so dear to us, because they're our friends and our real supporters, which is so meaningful, and because they really keep this operation going, and so they are just absolutely instrumental, and we really want to thank them so much. But I want to reach out to the person who is like, I don't know, money's tight right now, I don't know if I can do it. And I just want to say, if you can share the show, if you can put the link up on your social media, if you can tell a friend about it, if you can take a second and do a rating, that stuff costs $0 or 0 shekels or 0 coffees. And it really makes a difference.
That's right. I want to thank our friend Krista for buying us a
yes,
lot of
so
great
much.
Coffees. Thank you very much. It makes a big difference. And I also want to thank the Michel family.
That's right.
Who are great supporters of the show.
They send me gorgeous pictures from Switzerland. Foof.
That's right. And we want to send them our love. And there are many others that we want to send our love to. But we'll stop there today. But there's many more people. I also want to remind you again that this show this week is sponsored by Ari Silverman. In honor of his father and his brother. So that's Avraham Yoel Ben Mordechai and Chaim Menachem Yosef Ben Avram Yoel, and Andy and Joey.
Have only good news, happiness, and health.
Umayim.
Blessings Umayim. From the land of Israel.
That's right. Blessings from the land of blessings, Maka. I want to bless you, and thank you very much for being on the show. We have one more surprise, a short surprise, so stay tuned. We'll be right back with more. Shabbat shalom, Malka.
Shabbat shalom.
Keep up the great work. Keep up that great
Ditto.
Energy out there. And yeah, and Shabbat shalom.
Yeah.
Don't worry. The Ishai Fleischer Show will be right back, so stay tuned.
All right, folks, you are listening to the Ishai Fleischer Show. Thank you so much for staying along with me here. And I do want to hear from you very much, so please write me an email, yishai@yishaifleischer.com. And I want to wish you a Shabbat Shalom. But before we end off, back by popular demand is our very own Leah Fleischer. Leah, shalom.
Shalom.
How you doing? Okay.
Yeah, I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well. I think you know how I am since you live in my house. But you actually came with me to Hebron today because you were on a volunteer day, and you got to volunteer today with a nursery slash a plant nursery slash greenhouse
slash cafe
slash cafe. That's right. That's the way we do it here. Slash. These like Russian folks in Kiryat Arba, Russian yeah. Jews, they're pretty great folks, right?
Yeah, it was awesome. It was really amazing.
What'd you get to do?
Well, yeah. So first, you know, watered the plants, which took weirdly forever. So I watered the plants, which took weirdly forever because you have to water them and then you have to like spritz them and wipe them down because they got dust. It's like a whole process. And then we painted beautiful signs for the whole yard. It was really fun.
Yeah, you made these beautiful signs. I saw them for the cafe. And these are like older Russian Jews
yeah.
who found a piece of land in Kiryat Arba. And they're really just like beautifying this place and making it into like a cafe and making it into a plant nursery. And this is the word of the day. Maka, are you listening? There's the word of the day today, okay?
What's the word of the
day? Kaktusia. Kaktusia. Everybody just say kaktusia out there.
Kaktusia.
Okay. I don't know why. Hold the mic nice. Okay.
Nice.
Kaktusia, which is, or kaktusia. How do you think he's supposed to say
kaktusia.
It? Kaktusia. Kaktusia. What is that?
But Russians say kaktusia.
Kaktusia. Which is the place of the cactuses.
Yeah, the
right?
little... cactus growing place.
Okay, there's cactus growing place and there's little fish there.
Yeah.
And they're sweet. And you guys talked about all kinds of weird things today, right?
Oh, we talked about blimps and science and weather and like how big Russia is. It was really random, awesome things.
But since you come from a Russian background family and your grandfather, your male grandfather on the Russian side, which is my side, has passed away and you never really got to meet him. So this was a little bit of like
yeah.
Russian culture, right?
Definitely. Like, it's really fun to be with Russian people because first of all, I totally understand them. And they also understand me because I have a lot of Russian humor and nobody understands it. I'm like, I tell my friends like all these jokes and they're like, okay. And I tell Russians these jokes and they're like, ha, 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 hilarious. So it's fun being with them. And they were just so nice and I had so much fun.
And they fed you a lot, right? They kept feeding you ice cream and stuff like that. When I came to pick you up, she offered me ice cream three times. I'm like, no, I'm going to liver cleanse. I can't have any ice cream. She's like, okay, but ice cream? I'm like, no, I can't have. But maybe some little bit of ice cream.
Oh,
like,
sugar. No, I can't. Sugar. They always call it coffee, but they mean sugar. It's weird. They're like, coffee? I'm like, coffee? They're like, coffee. And I'm like, no. They're like, they show me a sugar bag. They're like, coffee? Yeah, it was just amazing, and we painted and we talked, and I got to learn about all kinds of plants and which ones like water, which ones don't. It was really, really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and you are now finishing up eighth grade.
Yeah.
Although school's been canceled for 2 days in a row because of school strikes, but you're finishing up and you have a big play. I think a lot of people out there don't know what it's like for a young person to finish up like grade school here in Israel. What's it like? Is it like emotional? And what do you guys have to do? Like, you have like a big play you're putting on and other things. Like, tell me a little bit about that.
Well, eighth grade, yeah, it's like an ending for, you know, the whole school process. which is a big emotional thing. And, you know, you made friends and that's a big thing. But like, there's so many things that happen. There's a school play. There's school yearbooks. There's we like create gifts for teachers, gifts for the school. It's like a whole process. It's also a lot of what did you call it? Asak, avirat sof kurs. How would you describe it? It comes from
the army. It means like people like don't care as much anymore, so they're not going to school.
Cause nobody's coming to school on time. Right. Like girls will pop up in 11. They're like, I made it on time today. and girls, some girls are like coming at 11. Some girls are leaving. Nobody cares. The teachers don't care. And it's actually a really nice feeling because everybody feels so like, it's like, no, it's a lot less restrictions. Like there's a lot less of that gvul, that line between the teachers and the students. And it's like a more connected to one another, which makes it really interesting. You get to learn a lot of things about teachers in this time. Like I got to learn that my sport teacher is actually an artist, which is like a totally insane thing I never thought about. But you just learn all kinds of things and it's really, really interesting.
Mm-hmm. What are you doing?
What am I doing?
Like you have tell me about your play and about your yearbook. Tell me about the stuff that you're doing yourself.
Okay, so when it comes to the play, I actually do not want to tell you because it's somewhat of a surprise till Sunday. But the play is called Higat LaMalchut. You know, the point in the Book of Esther where Mordechai's like, maybe for this reason you came to royalty right before the fast. And so it's about achayut. Achayut in English is responsibility, right? So it's about responsibility, and there's a lot of different parts and a lot of components to this act. And it's really fun because as we got older with the years, the teachers put more of the artistic ideas in our hands. So we create the dances, we create the songs. Well, there's no songs in this one, but we create the backdrops, all the things, and it's really, really fun. And then I'm also in charge of the graphic design for the school yearbook, which is really fun because I also get to go over all the little jokes and memes and stuff that we're putting in it. So I get to see everything before everybody, which is really fun. What else? Yeah, I'm also in Hakarat Tov, which is where we write beautiful notes for the teachers for the end of the year with little thank you cards, sort of.
That's a lot of stuff. I don't remember eighth grade being like that for me. I don't remember eighth grade that much at all, really. But that's like a lot of cool stuff that you get to do.
Yeah.
And you get to do this volunteering. You also, at the same time, are in Taekwondo.
Yeah.
And you just had a big show. And it's actually, our Taekwondo is mixed boys and girls.
Well, not exactly.
Right?
It's more like there are boys classes, girls classes,
right?
But the show was boys and girls together because we couldn't have like separate shows.
You wore your Taekwondo uniform,
yeah,
plus a skirt, like a black skirt.
So usually I just wear my normal.
And a lot of people noticed, and my good friend Avi Abelo, Israel Pulse, and generally people know who Avi Abelo is. So Avi Abelo told me, your daughter has proven that she's even more of a warrior because it's more of a warrior to dress modestly and to get out there and show the world that you're not willing to bend on these values more than the fighting itself, which you did a great job and broke stuff and all kinds of stuff like that, right?
Yeah. I usually, when I go to Taekwondo, I wear like normal workout clothes plus skirt, you know, long sleeves and everything.
Right.
And I never wear we have very baggy pants and very baggy shirt plus belt, which makes it very difficult to be with a skirt because altogether makes it very hard to kick. Also, your movements don't look as good because it's just all like covered up. So I usually do not wear my uniform, but you know, it was a show, so we all had to wear it. And this was my first time in like ever wearing my uniform plus skirt. But yeah, it was really cool, but like, when you grow up on values, that it doesn't make you feel weird or different because this is just the way you grew up. This is the way it works. So it was really cool. And I found a good skirt that went with my outfit, obviously. And And that also worked for me, so I was able to kick and break and, you know.
I thought you pulled it off really great, and and I've also sparred with you a little bit, and it's just, like, amazing to me. I'm very proud of Taekwondo, that they've taught you to really be a strong Jewish woman and a Jewish fighter, and that's very, very important. And you just have the ability to defend yourself or defend others, and I think that's really great, and it's important. And hats off to your amazing teacher, Tzion.
Oh, my gosh.
Who is, like, to me, what do I always say about him?
He's my rabbi.
I say he's a rebbe. That's a what rebbe. I say he's a rebbe. He's a rebbe. He's a great teacher. He's a great teacher.
He's
a
total expert, and he's amazing.
But he's not just an expert in Taekwondo. He's an expert in teaching.
Yeah, definitely.
He's a great teacher. Mm-hmm. That's not the same as being a great Taekwondo fighter.
Yeah.
That's like a different thing.
Yeah, he's an amazing teacher. He's also really sensitive. He if I feel like I am having a weird Taekwondo emotional breakdown, which happens once in a while.
That's right.
Because you're sweating and you're like, and you're working hard, and then suddenly you're like, oh, I'm not good enough. So he'll sit with you and he'll talk with you and he'll show you the right things and he'll help you get stronger. And he really just wants you to get better and get far.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. And I think it also, you know, how do you think this comes together with Emunah Bashem and how does it come together? Like, how does this stuff, how does eighth grade and Taekwondo and volunteering, like, how does that come together with your belief in Hashem and what's it like to be a little young Jewish, not so little, bigger than your mom.
Medium.
Jewish kid, what's that like?
Well, you know, related to the eighth grade and like and finishing up in Emunah and that, it's like, it's sort of, there's a weird
Emunah is faith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So weirdly, it's like there, it's not just like faith in Hashem and that, but it's also the faith of the teachers and the parents in the kids themselves, which is like, it's almost the same thing if you really think about it, right? Like, Hashem is compared to a father, right? And so it's like they allow these children, they're like, wow, you finished eighth grade, now move on. You get to pick what school you go to. You're the one who's choosing. You're the one who's going to choose what megama, which is...
How do you say megama in English, Malka?
Nah, megama.
Focus, yeah.
Major, yes. Right. Yes.
Your high school, yeah.
Yeah, major.
In Israel, you like kind of major in high school for stuff, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You major at least one thing in high school. And this trust that the teachers and parents have in the children to make their own choices, and really related to the show that we're putting on, is like Achayut. It's a really big deal that like all this achayu is put on our shoulders.
Let's
now
translate achayu, responsibility.
Oh my gosh, I am not good at that.
You're fine at that. You're just tired, and you were out on the out
in the sun all
was
day.
On the sun all day.
Yeah,
and also we came home and we had to bury Beasley.
Beasley
the hamster.
Beasley the hamster.
Yeah, that's right. There's Yissi's here also, Yisrael.
Hi, Yissi.
Yeah, we hear him in the background.
Okay.
That's right. So be quiet for a second. Okay. And that's right. That's right. We had a death in the family, but it was okay. It was just his time.
Did you guys already talk about Beasley the hamster?
We talked about it. We talked about the funeral, the whole thing. We're on radio.
That's
now.
That's not true. I cried too.
Either you want to say something on the microphone like you mean it, or don't say anything at all. All right? You want to say something on the microphone? I let you. But you have to say nicely. No, see, that I don't let. Okay. Anyway, okay, fine. Lev Fleischer, we want to wish you a lot of success in this upcoming period. And when you make decisions, including the decision of which high school you're going to and all that kind of stuff, you know, you really need guidance. They don't talk enough about decision making. Okay. They don't talk about the decision making in terms of how hard it is to make a good decision in life, how important it is to make decisions. The decisions that you take really, really take you on a path. The high school that you take and that decision at the crossroads of life, it takes you to the next place, and it decides your life.
Yeah.
So the decisions are very, very important. And one of the things that I didn't hear when I was a young person, but I do say to you, is that we really need to pray. to make decisions. And we need to get used to praying to make small decisions.
Definitely.
You know, and then afterwards, you make big decisions. Which high school you go to is actually a big decision.
Yeah. It was like a really big thing in school. Like for 4 months, girls would like go from one girl to another. Like, did you choose yet? Oh my gosh, I don't know. Am I going to get accepted? Sorry. It was like such a big deal. It was like, there was so much pressure on everybody. And it was like a whole half of the year practically of this choosing. And it was such a long thing because we needed to choose and the high schools had to choose and then the teachers had to choose who they wanted. It was like a whole thing.
The teachers had to choose what?
They had to, a school would go to our teacher. Like if a school was like thinking about one of the girls, they would go to the teacher and ask her to tell things about us. And the teacher was
if they were really considering you to be accepted, they would interview the teacher a little bit.
Yeah, and it was like, and the teacher also would have to be like, if she thinks this is the right school, it was like a whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Really, this year I realized there was like so much more decisions in life than you'd think. Like even tiny decisions, like tiny things, like when I was trying to go to a different high school to see. I didn't know if I should go on the bus or take this or ask for a ride. It was like different things that like tiny decisions, but like they made you think and they made you think hard. Like, and then some things were bigger than others that like made me upset or made me cry. And I had to you had to build yourself up for decisions. That's even right. If they're really small.
That's right. I make a lot of decisions every day and it is tiring. It is definitely, it's a muscle. Decision making is a muscle. And at the same time, you really have to have the interplay between faith in Hashem, asking Him for guidance, and at the same time being aggressive, mm-hmm. and making those decisions and like taking it in your own hands and being like, God has put me into this world to make these decisions, and I got to do it.
That's
and
the hardest part.
I got to be Takif.
For me, the hardest part, like I'll make a decision and I'm like, I did the wrong decision. I'm so silly. This is a bad idea. That's the hardest part for me is to accept my decision.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Leah Fleischer. I was going to say Maka, but it's Leah Fleischer.
that's not the same person.
We want to thank you so much. Yes, almost. Right?
Almost, just that right. Far away.
We want to thank you very much for joining us, and we want to wish you a lot of success in the summer and then in high school. And be matzlicha, and you're going to go to high school in Yerushalayim, and we'll see how that goes, Bezrat Hashem, and we hope well. And we really want to bless you, and I know the listeners want to bless you for continued successful life, and we want you to bless the listeners as well.
Yeah, man, everybody just should have, like, a lot of success. We should move into a year of, like, of a good memshala, a year of a lot of atzlacha, of briyut.
Can I just translate here? Because you're speaking Hebrew here. So you're saying you're blessing that we should have a good government. What is you say a lot of hatzlacha, success and health as well?
Health is Safta says health is the biggest thing, most important thing.
That's right, of course, because health is the pillar on which you could do every other thing.
Yeah.
So health is something that we pray for, and that's something that is a regular prayer in Judaism, which we pray for people's health. And there's a lot of people, even listeners to the show, everybody's got issues, and they have family and loved ones that have issues. So we pray for you here out from Israel. Of course, you can send me names for prayer, and you could dedicate the show to healing of anybody. In this case today, Leah, we have actually a very happy dedication to the show.
Ooh. I like happy things.
That's right. We have today's dedication is to Andy and Joey Silverman. Okay. Avram Yoel ben Mordechai and Chaim Menachem Yosef ben Avram Yoel. And that's dedicated by their son and brother, Ari Silverman, good friend of mine. And we miss him as well. So there you go. And we bless his family as well. And thank you so much for being part of our family. Leah, thank you for literally being part of my family. And thank you to all the good folks out there, all the friends that are out there around the world. And thank you very much to the people that make this show possible, including Moshe Herman, Ben Bresky, Tabitha Yocheved, and Lou, when we're live, for producing the show. And lots of love to you folks wherever you are. Leah Batzion, have a Shabbat Shalom. Oh, you know Leah Batzion? It's also the Shabbat right before my birthday. That's
oh my
right.
Gosh.
This Shabbat is the Shabbat before my birthday.
Do you have anything you want to do? Do you have a
little, no? I don't know if I want to do anything special. I'm.
Wait. When is your birthday?
It's on Monday. Sunday night.
Oh my gosh,
Monday.
It's like we could do a whole summer thing because summer's right like this next week.
What's a summer thing?
Like a summer vacation thing because
no, we don't have time. There's too many things going on at work and you guys have to be in school. Aren't you supposed to be in school next week? Hopefully.
Till Thursday and then it's over.
There you go, exactly. So after that we could talk. In any case, happy birthday to me. And happy birthday to you. And lots of blessings to everybody out there around the world from us here in Judea, from between Jerusalem and Hebron, and lots of blessings from the land of blessings. Write us an email, yishai@yishaifleisher.com, and only good things, and only brachot, and good decisions, and good blessings, and good food, and good health, and light, and good governance, good decision making. It's not simple out there. There's definitely challenges out there. Good pets health. Okay, we remember our Beasley. God bless him. He
died in Seva Tova
in a good old age.
Yeah,
that's right.
He was a whole 2 years old.
That's right. He lived well. He lived well. He passed away well.
That's like 95 and maybe 98 in hamsters.
He lived a good hamster life, and may we live to a ripe old age, but not before seeing Mashiach and the Beit HaMikdash.
Amen.
And then Tchiyat HaMitim. Then we don't have to worry about death at all.
Yeah.
All right, folks, more great stuff is on the way. Stay tuned, stay strong, stay connected. Lots of love and lots of blessings from the land of blessings. And shalom.
The Land of Israel Network is your connection to Israel and the Jewish world. Listen to our show hosts, Ari Abramowitz, Jeremy Gimpel, Eve Harrow, Josh Haston, Mike Foyer, Yishai Fleischer, and more. Keeping you up to date on news, politics, and spirituality, that's the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com, broadcasting the truth and beauty of Israel to the world.